Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. I hope everybody is doing well on this Tuesday evening. I guess it's evening depending on where you might be listening from in the country. This is going to be a very, very wonderful show. It's a show that I'm honored to be able to do, and I'm honored to be able to share this information and this celebration with you, the listeners. My special guest today is going to be Orwa Hehimetura Nkamit. He is author of the book African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. He is a priest with the Osiriset, a high priest with the Osiriset Society. His particular region is located in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be discussing this evening an event that's coming up in March, and I have the date here. It's going to be on March the 8th, 2014. It's the installment of a new queen mother in the Osiriset Society, and her name is Hemshekem Senekem Nerta Nkamit, and we're going to be discussing that event this evening, and we're going to be even delving into just the whole queen mother legacy. What is a queen mother? Okay, we know that in Africa, that you know, a queen mother was a part of the community, the society. She was honored and definitely held in high esteem. And we're going to be discussing that this evening, as well as I mentioned about the installment that's going to be taking place, and be giving you a lot of information on how you can attend, where it's going to be, and so forth. But I want to get to my guest. Again, as I mentioned, his name is Orwa Hehimetura Nkamit. As you may have heard him on these airwaves before, we're actually going through a series of the 11 laws of God. If you have happened to have missed the first two, we actually did already. We did Amen, and we also did Osir. As a matter of fact, next Tuesday, we will be doing Tehuti, so you want to make sure that you tune in for that from 7 to 8 p.m. Brother Orwa, thank you for agreeing to be my guest this evening. Welcome to Jawanza for Life, sir.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, excited and very honored to be back on your show again.
Well, it's a pleasure, my brother. It's always a pleasure. I mean, every time you come, you bring such powerful information, and it's very much needed. Thank you again for, as always, for the work that you are doing to spread the teachings of the ancient Kemetic legacy under the tutelage and leadership of Shechem Meshechem Ra'un Nefer Amen. Tonight, we're going to be talking about an event that's coming up on March the 8th. We're going to be honoring Royal Chiefess Hemshekem Senekem Nerta Nkamit. She's going to be elevated to the position of Orawat, or Queen Mother. For those who may have heard the term Queen Mother, and I'm sure many of us have, may have even used it in reference to people. What is, from an African perspective, what is a Queen Mother?
Okay, well, a Queen Mother is literally looked upon as being the mother of the king, meaning that it's the Queen Mother who establishes the lineage, the royal lineage, from which the king and future queen mothers will be drawn. So in traditional Africa and those societies, especially those which are matriarchal in terms of their natural focal, in terms of their inheritance, the queen mother is provides the womb that guides the royal dispensation of authority through the kingdom. Now, and that can be dispersed through several families, meaning when you're beginning a nation, you begin with two people, a man and a woman. But as the offspring and the generations begin to develop, you may have, the man and woman may have three daughters, for example. So each of those daughters then would be a potential lineage for the next person to rule the community to be drawn from. So it can end up being thousands of people in a pool, people who are qualified to take over the rulership.
So how then is a queen mother chosen? Okay, you have the like you mentioned, you gave the example of a king. I have three daughters, and I guess they would be potential queen mothers. What would they have to display in order to earn that title or be warranted having been chosen or given that high honor?
Well, the basic guidelines are they have to be upstanding in terms of their character and operation within the community. They have to be acknowledged as being honest people, courageous people, people who are not don't have serious character flaws. You know, they have integrity, et cetera. All these kinds of qualifications or characteristics are things that are baseline data that's being accumulated on the potential candidates. Then they also look at, well, what has this person's contribution been to the community? Not only what has it been, but what's the upside? What's the potential that they bring to the situation? What are the talents and the skills that they've cultivated? What have they contributed to the community? All these are factors that are looked at. And then within the context of spiritual consultation, what is it that the ancestors or God has to say about this person relative to their potential performance within this particular setting?
That's interesting, because you mentioned, you know, what does God have to say about this? So my understanding then is that the oracles are consulted prior to a selection being made, or once a potential candidate has been chosen to become a queen mother, then the oracles, I assume, are consulted. And the reason I'm bringing that point to light is because, as I mentioned briefly when we were talking before, in the Christian church, and I know in many and probably other churches as well, or temples or mosques or whatever, the oldest woman in the church or temple or mosque may be considered the mother of that church, temple, or mosque without regards to, you know, any of the aforementioned attributes that you talked about, without any thought to, you know, what have they contributed, you know, to the society or to the community or to the church or the temple or the mosque. You know, what do they have the potential to contribute? And even less, what does God have to say about it? You know, because the problem arises in a situation like that. If you're choosing somebody just based on the fact, making them the mother of the church, or just based on the fact that they're the oldest woman in the church, what happens if you have two women of the same age? You know, do you now, you know, go down month by month? Oh, well, she's got you by 2 months, so I guess she's the queen mother, irregardless of any other, you know, qualifying factors. So if you could talk about that, just the selection process and the, I guess, consulting with the oracles, if in fact that's one of the tools in which it's used to determine that. So is that how that works? One qualified candidate, somebody who's displayed all of the attributes that you mentioned, but then now we go to the oracles because God has the final say?
Well, in traditional Africa, and we can go back to Kemet, we can look in contemporary traditional African settings, always criteria that is looked at in terms of establishing hierarchy or granting positions of authority within society is all based on character. But there's also the fact that, and the factor that there's the understanding that we all are standing on someone else's shoulders, meaning our ancestors. And so within traditional settings, then there's also the understanding that the ancestors need to be consulted in and brought in on this deliberation part of the communication. And then in those societies in which, they have technologies to communicate directly with the Supreme Being through divination or whatever, then that is also a way of which, through which, the individual is vetted. Meaning you just don't look at their record, public record. You also look at their spiritual record to see and make sure that they will not only serve as a public figure, but also will help promote the spiritual values and development of the community. Because in ancient Kemet, that was the most important thing. You know, you're all familiar with the so-called 42 negative confessions. Well, they weren't 42 negative confessions. They were 42 declarations of freedom from sin. And what they were symbolic of, and not really symbolic, what they were actual witness to was the fact that these individuals, each individual had as a responsibility and a part of their destiny to awaken that divine aspect, the divine intelligence, that divine identity, which is their true self. Meaning, it said that man was made in the likeness of God in Genesis. Well, to be, if God is divine and man is like God, then man is also divine. So we have this divine aspect to our being. We also have the human aspect. We also have an animal aspect. And in ancient Kemet, each person's goal in life was to evolve and develop and move beyond the influences of the human and the animal to awaken the divinity within them, so that that divinity then could be what led and guided them in the choices and the decisions and how they lived their life. And if each of us strove to awaken that divinity, right, even if we failed at different points in time, then the community, the society itself, is on a different level. So each individual then has as a responsibility the process through the initiation process of declaring their freedom from sin. Whatever the problems are, the sins that I commit in my life, I have a responsibility to go through and correct those problems, to eliminate those problems, so I can declare myself free from sin. And by doing so, then I am now setting myself up as a vehicle through which God can experience its creation, which is the true purpose of creation itself. The world was created, the universe was created, so that God could have the opportunity to experience its potential. You know, people talk about the three omnis that represent the Supreme Being, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. Well, let's just take one, for example, omniscience. Omniscience means to be all-knowing, but you can only know things. So prior to there being any creation or manifestation, there are no things. Hence, God cannot be all-knowing because there's no thing to be known. So in order to manifest its potential, to realize its omniscience, it has to create all things and then through the experience of living, know those things. So each of us, as we are going through our lives, we've come to earth, our destiny is to be a vehicle through which God can experience the creation that it brought into being and to be the vessel and to be the vessel through which God experiences the world itself. So our purpose is to be the vehicles through which God is able to experience itself in the world. And so as each of us work on awakening the divine aspects of our being, then we become the vehicles that will enable the community and the society and the world to become a better place. So the person that would be promoted into a situation like that then would be a person who is working on that divinity, who is working on that information, working on that spirit, so that they then can serve as a model for the other members of the community in order to go forward and develop their divinity as well. So that's what we're talking about in terms of the kind of effort that individuals in the traditional sense must bring in order to be put in these positions. It's not that the person comes in a fully evolved, awakened divine being, but the person comes in having demonstrated the commitment to make that the reality of their life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, that is very, very, it's got to be a good feeling even for the individual that's being recognized, because everybody loves to be, you know, recognized for what it is that they, you know, either do or, you know, strive to do, just the effort, you know, even if you're not getting it all the way right all of the time, but you're doing the best that you know how to do, you know, just somebody even just recognizing the fact that, you know, hey, I see your effort, you know, I see you laboring, you know, I see you advancing, I see you growing, you know, and I recognize that, you know, for the individual that has got to, it's encouraging. And not only is it encouraging for that particular individual, but even for those who might not be receiving the recognition at this time, but are celebrating with the recipient, her in this particular case, recognition, it gives hope even to those who are still striving that, you know, there are people who do recognize effort, you know, and, you know, commitment, you know, because it's a beautiful thing just to know that you're on the right path, you know, just to know that your efforts are being recognized and appreciated, you know. And so, you know, I can appreciate the statement that you just made. Brother, if you could talk about, if you would, even the word instoolment, and it is the word stool, and I'm looking at the bio here, or the flyer, and it talked about how in Ghana there's a kingship, and they actually present the stool or the epo. Is that how it's pronounced? Epo or stool was presented to Shechem or Shechem Ra'u Nefer Amen, officially recognizing him as recognizing the society's kingship in Ghana. Is the word instoolment, is that that stool, could you talk about the epo, is that, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and how that relates to the instoolment, if at all?
Well, within certain traditions, the stool is a symbol of rulership or kingship. So in those traditions in which the stool is that symbol, and then to be given a stool or to be installed, meaning to be put on a stool, is symbolic of the person who rules or who's in charge or who's responsible for whatever aspect of that, whatever that stool represents. So stools will represent different areas. You could have a family stool,
mm-hmm.
where the person who's the head of the family would occupy that stool. You can have, you know, a community stool. You can have a nation stool. So each stool, the person who holds that stool has been given that stool, mm-hmm. who occupies that position. That's a symbolism is of their rank. So the symbolism is that they sit. It's the seat of power. So the stool represents like the seat of power.
Okay. My wife, Aquia Shepsnatier, had a question for you, Aura.
Yes. My question is this considered maybe one of the highest achievements in this lifetime that you could achieve or obtain as far as that type of position for a woman? Is that something that, you know, when you say someone is, seeking or... have a desire to fulfill that, I guess, that role in the community, is that the highest level that you can seek to achieve or desire to achieve in this lifetime?
Well, yes and no. Meaning no in that each person, male or female, has the opportunity and the destiny of awakening their divinity and becoming known as no fear, regardless of their political station in the community. Meaning if they're a baker or a cook or an environmental sanitation worker or the head of a business or an accountant or a king, everyone has the same destiny in terms of our goal in life is to become the vehicle through which God can express itself in its fullest on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Within the political hierarchy, in terms of management of the body politic, if you will, then yes, this would be a highest, one of the highest positions. You know, in Africa, and we look at this from the perspective of our historical legacy, from the beginning of history, which is some 5,000 plus years ago, we have the records of African people organizing themselves around the kingship. The first writings are about the kings of Africa. So there's no historical writings about the development of the system. When we first get the writings, the system is already in place. And so the king then was the political head of the community. Now, the Queen Mother, as we said earlier, represents the lineage from which the political head will be chosen. So the Queen Mother could, in terms of her familial relationship to the king, either be the mother, which is not sometimes happens but not often. She could be the aunt. She could be a niece.
Mm-hmm.
To the king, because it's all based on the maternal descendancy. But the most important part is, the reason why we call her the Queen Mother is because she is also represents the seat of power relative to promotion of the king. Meaning the only way the man can rule is by his relationship to the woman. It's her position that gives authority and authorization to whatever man would sit on the stool. If that man is not of her lineage, then he cannot rule. And in many societies, for example, in the Asante society, as well as many other societies, it's the Queen Mother who actually nominates the person to be the king. And that nomination then is taken to the elders of the community, and they deliberate on her nomination. So, you know, and in many situations, historically, in ancient Kemet, and in even more recent times in different parts of Africa, there have been situations where there were no men qualified or fit to occupy the throne, and the Queen Mother ruled as king herself.
Wow. Now, that's very, very powerful in that the Queen Mother, just to be the one to choose, let's say, or nominate a man to be king, to nominate a king, a potential king, then that even speaks to her wisdom, knowledge, to be able to make such a nomination, to be able to be of a particular enough character to recognize the traits and attributes that would be fitted, that would be fit for a king, you know. So that speaks to her power as well. Yes, Queen.
Yeah, I also, I guess I just also have another question concerning the Queen Mother's role or anyone that is being ordained, I would say, in that position,
installed
mm-hmm. in that position. So I guess just listening to, you know, some of the things that you're saying today, it appears that the woman has a very powerful role in the
community,
in the relationship, which is different than it seems like in Western society. Women are not given as much acknowledgement sometimes, maybe on Mother's Day or something like that. But as far as, you know, it's beautiful to see this acknowledgement. And I mean, it's just beautiful to see.
Yes, when you look at many institutions, you'll find that though, and depending on the nature of the institution, though the women may not be able to or occupy, quote-unquote, the leadership position, there are many times the power of the organization is able to operate and move based on the power of the women that make up that organization. So within our society, for example, we have, I think it's 7 CESPOL international, in addition to study groups and others. And of the 7 paramountcies, 4 of them are ruled by women. I mean, there's no king involved. It's just the Queen Mother who rules that area. So it's the nature of the experience is that women control the nation is based on the descendancy from women, and that women in terms of traditional society, in terms of the role of the Queen Mother, in terms of the day-to-day role of the Queen Mother, in addition to the important responsibility of making sure that the community has adequate leadership, she also is responsible for making sure that the community is adequately prepared and empowered. For example, in village life, you know, it's the Queen Mother who organizes the women to make sure that the community is maintained in terms of the homes and the environment is kept clean, et cetera, because we all know that, you know, metaphorically speaking and reality, that cleanliness is next to godliness. But it's not just that. You know, if you don't have a clean environment, then that leads to problems within the community, within the health of the people, et cetera. So, you know, traditionally and historically, women have been the caretakers. The reason why we call it Mother Earth is because the earth provides the sustenance for everything on everything to survive, everything to develop. So that's the role of the mother in the society. And so the Queen Mother then is that mother who's responsible for maintaining the sustenance of the community itself in terms of its leadership.
You know, Brother Orwai, this is a very interesting interview. My wife and I were sitting here as we're listening to you. You know, I know we're going to go back and listen to the show again, as we have been doing. We go back and listen to all of the shows that we, you know, interview you, members of the Shechems and the Osiriset Society. And one of the things that amazes us, never ceases to amaze us, when we listen to the wisdom that comes from people like yourself, the other Shechems, Shechem or Shechem, you know, particularly even those under Shechem or Shechem, is that at some point they had to come to this information. You know, at some point they may have been sitting in the class, you know what I mean, just learning it, you know. And then to go from that level to the level of an Orwai or now an Orwat, you know, a Shechem, you know, it's just to take this information and live it to a point where now it's become your life, you know, and you are now have made such progress from the time when this information first came to you to now being promoted to an Orwat, you know, is really probably to the recipient even amazing, because when you come to this information, being honored with such a title is probably the furthest thing from your mind. You're just trying to live the laws, you know. You're just trying to live the laws and be the divine being. You're just trying to become Hosea, you know. And then to at some point realize this position has got to, when a person looks back at their life, one of the, you know, any of the recipients of the Queen Mother title, any of the Shechems, you know, could probably look at their life and just look back and just be astounded at, you know, how far that they've come. And even for you, it's got to be gratifying and rewarding to watch the growth of somebody who, you know, may have sat in your classes and that you've taught and nurtured and you've actually watched grow and move from level to level to level and then to now be the recipient of such an honor. It's got to give you a sense of joy.
Well, it's empowering from this perspective of, you know, we're first generation reestablishing, rebuilding of this beautiful culture and civilization that our ancestors put together thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. And so our mission, our commitment is that, you know, we want to bring Kemet back. Not just as a political statement, but as a real functioning entity. And to do so, it requires that each of us, the information, begin to, you know, marinate it, nurture it, develop it, and apply it into our lives so that we can begin to establish the tradition that can be passed on to the next generation, meaning the fullness and the completeness of what is to come out of the experience is something that has to be a generational experience. You know, we can't believe that we didn't get in this situation overnight, and we're not going to get out of this situation overnight. So we have to be in the sink. Generationally, we have to be in the sink, you know, 400 years down the road. What is it that we need to do today that will take us to a position and put us in a place for three generations coming forward? Mm-hmm. So the establishment of the system, the creation of the positions, the cultivation and refinement of us who will occupy the positions, our refinement, our development sets the stage and the foundation for the next group to come along to continue the evolution and development. Because, you know, life is a spiral experience. You know, people say history repeats itself. Well, it shouldn't be on a linear level. That should be a spherical level, meaning that, yeah, I may come around to this kind of experience again, but the next time I should be looking at it from a higher perspective. I should be addressing it from a higher perspective, which will give me a higher response and a change the nature of the experience for the next time going through.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's also beautiful, brother, to see in the West, the Western Hemisphere, this type of organization, this type of, you know, hierarchy, this type of system, this type of culture being brought back, like you mentioned, after, you know, this thousands of years old system of taking people through and helping people to reach their divinity. Seeing that in the West is a very, very beautiful thing, just to be able to, and even for me, for my person, to be alive, you know, at this time, and to be able to see it, you know, and to be able to see it and speak to people who are, like you mentioned, in the first generation, you know, of this reemergence of Kemetic philosophy in the West is a very, very beautiful thing for just for me personally. And I can speak for my wife, Akwia Septatera, as well. We are amazed at it, and it is truly, it's transforming our lives. Brother, if you could talk about, back to the Queen Mother, the role, but the Queen Mother as a role model You know, when we look at the world today, you know, there are a lot of young women who, you know, have chosen role models either, or there are young women who are role models either by choice or that title's been just thrust upon them. People, regardless of whether they intend to be role models or not, they have such visibility that people emulate them and want to be like them. If you could talk about just the role of the Queen Mother as a role model, because one who has displayed the characteristics, the effort, the commitment, and all else that's needed to have this very distinguished honor bestowed upon them, just that in and of itself says to me that this person would be a role model, a good role model, because you have role models, not all good, but this would be a good role model for younger women, and not just younger women, but young men as well.
Well, yeah, unfortunately in the West, where everything is based on superficiality, the models that young people have to emulate, unfortunately, are those which aren't based on character and quality, but based on either some external talent or money or visibility or whatever. Meaning, it's like Charles Barkley said it best, he is not a role model. Meaning, he's a basketball player. He's visible based on the exposure and the nature of this society, but that doesn't equate in terms of the African experience, in terms of what it and who and how people are given positions of visibility. Meaning, when you are the Queen Mother, you're then put on the stool for the whole community to see. So the idea is that you are then responsible for modeling the right kinds of behavior, because ultimately that's what life is about. It's about modeling behavior. It's about identifying what's the correct thing to do, otherwise said overcoming sin, overcoming the influences of the animal part of our spirit, overcome the influences of the human part of our spirit, to allow the divine part of our spirit expression. So what is the behavior? What's the model? What does God look like is the question. What does it look like to be a divine being in this world? And so the person who is put in that position then is set up to be visible to all to see that this is what and how one should function. This is the kinds and the quality of character that one should have. These are the spiritual values and talents that one should express and display. This is the African approach to modeling or to role modeling. Unfortunately, in the West, it's all based on superficiality. It's all based on external qualities. It's based on, you know, talents, based on money, you know, whether a person can put together a string of words that makes that is poetic or whatever. I mean, but none of that has anything to do with the kind of person, the character of the person. It's all about this external talent.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the ceremony, the actual installment. That's going to be on Saturday, March the 8th, 2014, at 7000 at 7000 Adelphi Road in Hyattsville, Maryland. And there are going to be people coming from all over the place. Across the water, people are going to be coming in from the different gnomes of the Osiris Society in the United States. It's going to be a very big affair. And is Shechem Meshechem coming down?
Shechem Meshechem will definitely be here. He is the person who has the authority to present the title. So he will be overseeing and conducting the installment process itself. As will
the... Well, everybody... go ahead, I'm sorry.
As will the Nesui II, who are the International Queen Mothers, or the Queen Mothers of Society International. So they will be also directing the affair, because they'll be bringing him, Shechem, into, you know, the role of Queen Mother.
Okay. So is it an open invite? I mean, so people, anybody listening, if they want more information on, you know, even if they want directions, you know, so people can, if they were interested and they said, you know what, this is something that I've never seen, you know, an installment before, you know, it would be great to see this particular aspect of African culture. How can they get more information?
Well, there's a number there that they can call. There's a, you have that information there. Can you provide
number here?
The number? There's a Facebook link. There's an email address. It is a fee event. There's a charge for the event. So we're requesting that people purchase the tickets ahead of time. And all that information, if they call the number, can you read that number, please? I don't have the number in front of me.
It's 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202-630-2507. And I'll give the email address as well and the website. If you'd like to, let me give you the email address. It's oserosset.wash, that's W-A-S-H, capital D-C, at gmail.com. Again, that's oserosset. And that's AUSET, WASHDC, that's caps, at gmail.com. And the website is www.oserosset, again, that's AUSARAUSET, capital DC, .org. Again, that's www.ausar, that's capital A, offset, capital A-U-S, like Sam, E-T, capital D-C, dot org. So this
yes,
is going to be... this is going to be
the ticket there at the website through PayPal. And you can call in for more information and more in terms of the event, the time and all that. They can call the number and someone will get back to them on that information.
Okay. Well, I mean, when I hear this information, just to see this happening in the West and to be able to create our own institutions, to be able to honor our own, you know, I remember recently there was this big issue with, I believe it was the Grammys. You know, there were some black performers that felt like they had been snubbed at the Grammys, you know, that they felt like they weren't represented, I guess, the way, you know, they felt, you know, they felt it was racist. They felt that, you know, it was a racist thing and, you know, why were we snubbed and, you know. But when somebody sets up a situation or an organization and they don't set it up necessarily with you in mind, but they set it up to honor themselves, you know, and their culture and, you know, their singers and dancers or whatever, entertainers, and then they invite you in and say, okay, we're recognizing you now. You know, you can't get mad at the people that set up the system. You can start your own system, you know, and just to be able to see the Oserosset Society have a situation now where they can honor, you know, the people within that society that have displayed particular characteristics that are deemed worthy of this type of acknowledgement, to me, is very, very important. If you could talk about that, just the need for us as Africans in America or just Africans in the diaspora, Africans on the planet, to be able to set up and have our own system where we can honor our own without looking for someone else to honor us and then ultimately get mad when they don't.
Well, let's take it, let's look at this from the higher perspective, meaning, and this is our position and perspective on it. God speaks to all people in a language that they understand, meaning that the way God speaks and communicates with Chinese people will be different than what the way God speaks and communicates with Indian people, for example.
Okay.
And both of them are valid.
Mm-hmm.
The communication that the Indian receives from God is no less valid and valuable than the communication that the Chinese man receives from God. As African people, God also speaks to us. And he speaks to us in a language that we understand. But unfortunately, we've been miseducated to believe that somehow the African experience is less valuable than other people's experience. You know, when people talk about seeking out wise men, you know, the image is that these wise men are going to be from the Orient or someplace else, as opposed mm-hmm. to understand, believing that a wise man in Africa. So we have to learn to, you know, God, they say, God bless the child who's got his own. We have to begin to accept and value and appreciate our own and honor our own. That doesn't mean that you dishonor someone else's, but it means that you respect and honor your own. And by doing so, you can also then honor someone else's. But if you give up what you have for someone else, if you dishonor what you have, if you marginalize what you've been given, if you undervalue what you've been given, and only accept that which someone else has, then you can expect that you're not going to get full appreciation because, as you said, it wasn't set up for you. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the value of African culture is being assaulted on so many levels, not just here in the diaspora, but on the continent itself. And if there is to be a culture of African origin, African characteristics, African display, the African motif, then we as African people commit ourselves to preserving that culture, to honoring that culture, to promoting that culture, to not just studying about that culture, but living that culture. And that's mm-hmm. what the mission of the Ascension Society is, in preserving, honoring, and living the traditions and culture of our great African ancestors. You know, it was on the banks of the Nile, it was from our ancestors' mouths that God first presented scripture. So when we talk mm-hmm. about the oldest scriptures on the planet, those scriptures are written by our ancestors some, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years before other people's scriptures were written down. So we have to understand that, you know, God speaks to everyone, and everyone's communication is valued. But if you give up your voice, if you give up your voice for someone else's voice, then what do you have?
Well, how do you think we can best get this information to the masses? Because if everyone is made in the image, and this, again, back to emphasis on everyone, made in the image and likeness of God, you know, made with the, made in the image of a peace that nothing can disturb, that goes for everyone, whether they know it or not. How do we get them to know it? You know, because there are a lot of people, young women who have, you know, by the time they're, you've got young women who are having, you know, a lot of issues, you know, children out of wedlock, no blame, just a reality, children out of wedlock, you know, getting married or not to the wrong person, you know, multiple divorces, you know, you look on the TV, you see the images of our women dressed in ways that would not be befitting of a queen, you know, and so, but how do you best get this information out to people to help others to realize their divinity, or does that first come by you realizing your own, and then once you realize your own, you have now put up an image, say, for example, a queen mother, for someone to look at and be inspired to seek their own divinity?
Well, there is no shortcut. There is no, you know, magic pill. It's not like we can give everybody the red pill or the blue pill, whichever pill it was, to awaken them to the matrix. You know, it's only through living an example. But we have to become the example of what it is that we want the world to look like. We have to provide we have to put in the efforts, put in the work, apply the training, apply the teachings to our own lives so that we can now, by display, show that there's another option, there's another way.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's no shortcut around it. And so events like this that we're talking about are ways in which we can display that there's another approach, there's other options or other angles that we can take toward establishing and bettering and empowering our communities. You know, we have to be the change that we want.
You know, that's something, because again, that puts it back on each one, teach one, but you can't teach if you don't know. So if you're going to be the change that you want, that reminds me of the song by Michael Jackson, "I'm looking at the man in the mirror." You know, I'm asking him to change his ways. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. I am so very thankful, again, for this interview, for the opportunity to share in this way, in the celebration even of my sister, who is being, you know, installed as Queen Mother. Being installed as the Queen Mother is just something that, again, has been, I'm sure, for her, you know, as with others, a trek, an experience, you know, of unfoldment, and an experience of joy for her as she's watched herself grow and learn, and to be able to teach others. You know, and I want to give the information again. So for those who are interested in attending this awesome ceremony, it is going to be on Saturday, March the 8th, 2014, at 7000 Adelphi Road in Hyattsville, Maryland. And for more information, contact the Osara Set Society, D.C., at 202-630-2507. That's 202-630-2507, and the web address is www.osaredc.org, and that's AUSAR, capital AUSET, capital DC.org. Again, I don't know when the last installment was, and I, just by virtue of the fact that what has to take place in order for someone to be chosen or, I'm sorry, what's the word? Selected, thank you. Selected for such a honor. It's got to take years of study, years of shown commitment. You know, it's not like other situations. For example, in the Christian church, if you want to be a preacher, all you have to do is just kind of almost like raise your hand and say, "God called me, you know, I want to preach." And they say, okay, go take a couple of classes, and then, you know, once you complete the coursework, you're a preacher. But nothing has gone into watching for a while, you know, just or at least long enough, because you see so many preachers that have fallen. You know, you've seen so many preachers that have gotten involved in situations that are not befitting of someone who claims to be a representative of God. So even if you could just talk about, Baba, in the couple of minutes remaining, just the commitment that it takes to realizing one's divinity, that will ultimately or could ultimately lead even to an acknowledgement of a queen mother, although, of course, we know, as you mentioned, that the goal is to become an Osir. And every person that becomes an Osir may not become a queen mother, okay? But, you know, just to, if you could talk about the commitment needed to actually realize your divinity.
Well, it's, you asked about when the last time we did one of these ceremonies. The last time we did the ceremony was actually in 2012.
Okay.
It was during that time that the Queen Mother of Chicago passed. And so a new Queen Mother was put installed to take over that community, to guide that community. And the woman who was installed had been in the society since 1975 or so. She started off in New York. She's been a member of the priesthood since the early 80s.
Okay.
And so she's put in some 30 plus years of work in the society to be put in the position to take over that responsibility.
Wow.
In Shechem that's being promoted now, she's been she was a promoted as a Shechem in, I think, some 20 some years ago. She's been in Him Shechem for 17 years. So, you know, it's a long, you know, it's long. We're looking for long distance runners, because again, this is not something that we're not going to just roll over and fold. You know, this is a generational, multi-generational project, program that we're, agenda that we have. And so we need people who have demonstrated over the long period the commitment to the 11 laws, commitment to the spiritual practices, the teachings, commitment to applying these teachings. Not that you have to be a perfect steward, but you have to be, a person that's committed to getting it right. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get it right every time, but I'm committed to doing the best I can to make it right. If I fail this time, I'm going to get up and I'm going to make it better next time. You know, that's the goal and an attitude that each person has to do. It's not where you are in life, it's where you end up. That's important.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Agree, Chestnut.
And I do have to say that just observing, you know, just as far as the learning and with Jawanza reading the different books that I've been reading by Ra'un Nafa Amen, and noticing just how the community supports one another, that also to me is a very beautiful thing, because we don't have enough people a lot of times, even in our family today, that supports one another, their desire to be, you know, divine, or a desire to be a better person. But, you know, it's wonderful, just like you said, people are coming from all over.
That's right.
And to acknowledge that this is an honor,
yes,
you know, to be chosen for that this particular position. So, you know, I really, even looking on at what's going on, you know, I have to say it's a beautiful thing. And we do support you all,
yes,
in the things that we're seeing, because it's not, you know, you don't see this anymore. You know, our communities are divided, marriages are broken up, the family is not, you know, it's not a strong knit unit anymore, and to see a community of people that have the same goals and same desires, you know, so it's really a beautiful thing. And I just, you know, wanted to say that it's you know, and we definitely support it.
Absolutely. I want to say congratulations to him, Shechem, Senechem, Nerta, and Comet on this awesome, awesome honor that she's about to receive on March the 8th. Again, everybody, that's March the 8th. You don't want to miss it. And it's going to start, well, I'm going to give you the information. You can find out when it starts, the time, and everything. But it's March the 8th, 7000 Adelphi Road in Hyattsville, Maryland. And if you want more information, the contact Osara Set Society, D.C., at 202-630-2507. That's 202-630-2507. The website, again, is www.AUSET.org. Brother Orwa, again, thank you for being my special guest. Thank you for coming on and sharing this information and allowing my wife and I, Aquia Shepsnatere, just to share in this joyous occasion. Just, I'm even happy just talking about it and listening to you share about it. Any parting words for our listeners?
Well, we just want to thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you for your support. We're looking forward to seeing you there and seeing all of your listeners there.
All right, brother. Well, thank you again. Peace and blessings again, everybody. That's Orwa Hehi Metura in Comet. He is the Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. Osara Set Society and Washington, D.C. region. Again, he'll be on next week. Next Tuesday, we'll be, again, we're discussing the 11 laws of God. We've already discussed the Amen sphere. We've already discussed the Osara sphere. And next week, we'll 7 to 8, we'll be talking about the law of Tehuda. You definitely don't want to miss that. Tell your friends. Again, Orwa, thank you very much, Baba. We'll be in touch.
Very good. Thank you so much. Take care.
That's that. Great interview. Again, awesome interview. I want to say again, congratulations to Emshekem, Senechem, Nerta, and Comet. She's going to be installed as the Queen Mother. And that's going to be March the 8th, 2014, 7000 Adelphi Road in Hyattsville, Maryland. You want more information? Contact 202-630-2507. That's 202-630-2507. Again, my name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Peace and blessings.